So I want to say good afternoon and welcome to our first post-lunch caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Corey.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm fortified to hear you.
I hope you know, brought happiness is a good oldie song. I'm going to saturate myself in some good old music. I've got the real music, so I'm going to saturate myself. And you sound very philosophical and very, very good. And it's soothing to hear something like this in a kind of situation as it prevailed in Barbados. I'm very concerned in respect of, I've said, persons, anybody, and I must thank the CEO of the hospital and Dr. Cave for coming out. And it is very, very vital to keep posted with all the information and let the public call. The public will hear exactly what they're saying. And that call and their input was very, very well accepted in my estimation. I say to persons, if you're not feeling well, call the hotline, call the help desk, let the persons at the desk know what's happening to you and let them advise you in. Because to test everybody, you know, isn't going to be practical in all minute. So you have to stitch your physical to those persons and let them advise, and you would know how you're feeling. Everybody's in charge of themselves in respect to their health. So that in itself, that approach will help pull this back. There's a lot of talk about shutdown for about 2 weeks, etc. I wouldn't go against such, because what that will do is pull everybody off the street, and in 2-3 weeks you will know the extent of affected persons. Because if you're seriously affected, you can go to see help, unless you want to stay home and pass. That after 3 weeks would tell you clear a solid handle on the outbreak, and then you can restructure every time. But my emphasis today for calling is really, you see that quarantining and putting people self-quarantining, that's where a lot of my concern would be. And I want to touch before getting to that about the wristlet that they're going to place, etc. Okay, you put a wristlet on Canada Air, but does that say across the board that nobody can get in contact with Canada Air? Because we had cases where persons came back from overseas, had gifts or whatever for their loved ones or relatives, whatever, and people were allowed to get those things, etc. And there's a clear evidence of such. Now, you put, let's say, Canada Air with the wristlet, but do police who should go to Canada Air? And the emphasis, I like Patrick when he said about put soldiers, I said this to a number of people recently. People are touting that you should have one quarantine area where you can police. But I think that quarantine center, sorry if you're shouting your ear, but one quarantine center, all quarantine centers should be only for entry, no exit, unless you got that clear pass, and that can be achieved or arrived at with the technology and whatever, but and your ID card, all of this, before you can come back out. So when you go in, you're coming back out, and with no excuse. So that is where the problem will lie, and sort of pull back in the area of quarantine. That's where my emphasis would be. And I would listen to hear from you, all your input. And everybody, try to fortify each other. Be loving to each other. It is not time to go out in a hospital and fight a war and be belligerent, as the doctor says. Try to understand the prevailing situation on the island. This is one for working in unison together, hand in glove with each other, and help where you can help, and try to work for a solution and help the authorities. I regard you, sir.
I regard you equally, and thank you for that. Brastas, good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lane. Good afternoon, Mr. Lane.
A pleasant good afternoon to you, madam.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. Let wisdom and understanding prevail in Jesus' name, and let all views contend.
Amen now, and hallelujah.
Right. In the midst of all that I am hearing, I've come to the view that some Barbadians have forgotten that a second wave of COVID was projected worldwide, and we had the evidence of those projections in many developed countries such as the UK, USA, and other parts of Europe. I also recall that our own COVID response team speculated and commented on the likelihood of a second wave in our country. I am of the view that we are in that second wave. How we manage it is going to be telling on how well prepared we were for this second wave. It's going to be telling on our capacity and our resources as a small developing country. Now, I wanted a chance to ask Dr. Cave something, but I was glad when they said that there would be a press conference coming from the QEH on this matter. Now, what I would want to hear, I may not get to tomorrow, but what I would want to hear is more talk, more public sensitization on vaccinations, or what I would call COVID immunization. I do not believe that there has been sufficient public awareness on this issue, given all the conspiracy theories that are floating about out there. Now, I have no objection with taking the COVID vaccine once it becomes available to support herd immunity. But I think that we have to start talking, because Dr. Fauci, we tend to look at what is happening in developed countries, and we sometimes can borrow or take a leaf out of their books. But I remember as early as perhaps November, September, I could be wrong, but thereabouts, Dr. Fauci was talking about immunization, talking about the vaccine. And I believe that we are at a time where this should be in full ventilation in the public domain, so as people would get an understanding of what this vaccination is about. I do not know how you feel about these points, but thank you for hearing.
All right, thank you. I wanted to engage you on that one, because I want to agree with you, because a lot of the information on the vaccine right now is coming via social media through the memes and the jokes. And the jokes are like people taking the vaccine and starting to speak Chinese and all type of thing. And in the absence of official proper information from the authorities, we can either have a situation where people buy into misinformation, or they don't have enough information to make a decision. So I want to agree with you that we should start talking that talk all it. No, but what happened in Barbados, we always behind the eight ball. We bring in the vaccine, we try to get people vaccine, and then we try to start an education campaign.
Precisely. And running down the line. So now is the time.
So I can definitely agree with you. I know the authorities have their hands full, but one thing about leadership, you must be able to walk and chew gum. So if you're walking now, the chewing gum must start as well, and that is informing the public about what it means to have the vaccination.
Now, Corey, since you're engaging me, I do not propose to tell the government how to deal with this issue. But I think there are a few press conferences that need to come out to bring out some more information, and I would not say at the moment, that I'm waiting for before I proceed to tell the government how to deal with this. I notice a lot of people are doing that. But it is here. It is here, and we have to deal with it. And I would want that we recognize that now is not the time to be necessarily pointing a finger, but see how best we could assist in the management and mitigation of this dreaded virus. So, sir, I thank you for engaging me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Excellent call. Back at your bye and go to the head of the class. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Okay, let's try that again. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brastats. Good afternoon, caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Greetings, my brother.
Greetings to you too, my brother.
And this, and greetings to all our listeners. The good book says, the sensible person see the calamity and turns away from it. But the inexperienced walk straight into it and suffer the consequences. People in this country do not believe the morals and the principles settled in God's word. They won't believe nothing at all. The instructions are there in the Bible to follow, and you can't go wrong. But they do not and would not follow the teachings of the true and living God who created us. He know our heart. He know what we will do before we even think about doing it. He done foresee this pandemic before it came. And the instructions are there in the Bible, in Leviticus. 14 days if you have leprosy. 14 more days before you come out. Anything you have that is valuable that you wear, burn it. Even if somebody, they give you a robe that is valuable and you had it, you had the part with it. It's unfortunate. As you called it before, you just say, me and pointing the fingers at nobody. No, we got to come together as one and try and curb this pandemic. It isn't a sense blaming nobody and going back. We're going forward. But I got to read through there. Jehovah's teachings and principles are the greatest, man. You follow them, you can't grow anything. You won't get a COVID. I mean, sorry, COVID, because somebody may come again. That is different. But I know, my brother, and I want to say to the listeners of this country, take up that Bible, read it. You don't gotta be religious, you know, because I can conclude by saying, Jesus said these words to the people. The scribes and the Pharisees put themselves on the seat of Moses. Do as they say, but don't do as they do, because they do and don't perform. What Jesus was saying to you, I mean, if a criminal, a wicked person bring God's word to you, listen to him, but don't do what he's doing. Thank you, my brother.
I thank you as well. One of the things I want to insert here, in all honesty though, I know I am not one that big on blame and pointing fingers, but blame and pointing fingers, there is a component to it that is strategic. And that is, no, let me go from beyond the word strategic. People may get that mixed up. There's a good in it that you locate where the problem is to prevent it going forward. And that is the only positive or good purpose for blame or identifying a source of a problem or the reason for a problem. So I don't want to say it's 100% bad. It isn't a good thing to focus on in a crisis or an emergency, but it is something that has, in my opinion, some good in it in terms of preventing things going forward. Okay, good. Just coming out of that particular call, I wanted to insert that part. I want to say a good afternoon and a happy new year to one of my special listeners. And that is Ian Purge Shepherd, always locked on, always given a lot of trouble, always running away at the appointed time. But nonetheless, I just want to say a shout out to him at this time as well. And there's some things I wanted to read, but let's see if we can get on some more callers before we get to the end of the program. I say good afternoon and welcome. Still trying to get the issue with the lines sorted out. And once we get that opportunity, it gives me the opportunity to reiterate a number of points that we are seeing here today. We have the showers, though. I don't know if the rain is affecting. Producer telling me we have a number of calls coming in and dropping. And I'm sure with his expertise, he'll be able to handle that on the end. But if you're now joining us, one of the main points we've been looking at is this whole idea of COVID-19, obviously, and how it has affected the hospital. We heard from the executive director of the QEH, Mrs. Juliet Sutherland, and Director of Medical Services, Dr. Clay Cave. I want to remind persons, please, you advise that if you're going to be visiting the hospital, you try to restrict the visiting as much as possible, even the visiting times. You got to understand the times that we're in, the pressure that not only the QEH, but all our medical facilities are under. And we have to operate to suit with common sense and wisdom. We have to redesign almost the way we live then, our lifestyles, full stop. One of the other things I wanted to point out, and I'm glad for this break to be able to do so, is in listening to all of this, I know we're looking at the now. And the whole idea of people trying to get back to normal is that we will probably go back to our same very behavior. But it's some questions that we need to ask ourselves. What about the NCDs that are affecting many of us? The preventable ones, the non-communicable ones. What about that? And how will we change our lifestyle? Will we reduce our sugar and salt going forward? Will we eat more fruits and vegetables appropriately? Will we cut our meal sizes? Will we cut the time between eat and going to bed? Would, or increase it, I should say. Or all these are things we're going to look at. In terms of first aid, I'm told of persons who may have a very bad stub toe that going to the accident and emergency is the whole idea looking at something I heard from the psychiatric hospital, psychiatric first aid, in terms of how to identify signs of depression and how to start to even take yourself away from there before you get into even moderate depression. Are these things that we are going to look at going forward? Or are we just going to look at the symptoms of a very, very bad pandemic and then continue life as normal once we get vaccinated? What about financial literacy? The number of persons that we see, and even working with the mitigation program and seeing that over 17,000 families had to apply to go on emergency social protection because they've said to us they live paycheck to paycheck. And we know there are a lot more than that even out there. But what will we do differently to ensure that we have savings and that we can build wealth? Would we mind people's business a little less and try to mind our own business a little more so that we can build wealth as opposed to living in personal squalor and saying this is our lot in life? So there's a number of things we need to, those are a number of things we have to look at. Our health, our knowledge in terms of first aid, our financial literacy on how to build wealth. 5 minutes after one, the number to call, 434-1790. I just called the number and it says this number isn't working, ID3. I don't know what that is about. I see my producer gearing up, probably coming to join the fray.
Thank you, Corey. I try hard not to let my, I hope you can hear me. I try hard not to let my operators die.
And it's on unfortunately the vine. You don't have the same backup, huh?
On the vine, yeah. Unfortunately, when I down in the chair, or if I try to zoom, I don't have it. But yeah, we have an issue here where I would answer the phone, I would actually hear sometimes blank for a while, then background noise would come up, and sometimes I connect with the person, other times they just click off in my ear. So I don't know if the phone is ringing before I hear it. I don't know what's happening. I wanted to just engage you a bit while we try to see if the line system improves on this. I know for a fact we both worked together at different levels on the promotion of safety during the Live Up campaign. I knew you were a champion of the Live Up campaign. I was, part of the process.
Correct.
And looking, champion. And let's both salute Dr. Allison Leacock and the team on this. Okay. Eh? So I'll do that. Definitely. I'll do that on your behalf. Here's my thing. We understood the severity of the challenge with people's sexual responses. And here we have a pandemic. Don't you think we need that same level of engagement and cooperation, constant messaging from different people? You set up testing sites, you have special testing days. You put that whole mechanism that we've worked with that has done so much, not only in Barbados, but across the region for the testing and the response to HIV/AIDS. What are we missing here?
Dennis, I thank you so much for that. I've been telling my friends the same thing. No, I don't
know if you
can cast your mind
the public,
back.
Man.
You see, that's what, you see.
that's why I like to listen, cover you from time to time. Yes, sir.
No, it's good. It turns the table a bit because I'm here to listen as well, right? Oh, okay. So, but I'm glad to get the opportunity to speak with you and speak to the listeners on this. Mm-hmm. Have you cast your mind back? I believe it was 2000 or 2001. The then Prime Minister would have acknowledged that there was a city in Africa who would have lost 250,000 people to the HIV/AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa.
Right.
And he noted the equality to the population size in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And he said, listen, this thing can wipe out an entire nation if you look at it that way. Mm-hmm. The same thing, if you look at United States, we pay more attention to United States than Africa. There are over 340,000 people who have been reported dead from COVID, and hence the response does not even have to be equal, in my opinion. It has to be more. HIV in the early stages was a little bit more scary, but with the prophylactics and the medication and so on, it takes sometimes 14 years up, the highest we've seen before persons even show a symptom. This thing can kill you in 21 days. So I'm saying that it does not even have to be equal to the HIV campaign and the liver campaign, Dennis. It should be even greater, because this is of a greater risk to our survival as a people. This All is right. life and death.
Let me just say this and then take the headphones off, right? Because I said it at the start. You said it at the start. But, you know, the anti-Dennis crowd don't hear this. When I am sitting in the chair you're in, the producer is not a moderator. The producer is not an announcer. So they can't interact when there are no calls. I got to talk for 5 hours straight. I try not to put you under that kind of pressure, which is why I try to assist.
And
from time to time, the head of the station, when he's sitting in your chair, will call me when the same thing happens. I can now tell you, sir, that you have a call on the line that I spoke to. They're waiting on the line, so now I could take off my headphones. Okay? And continue, please, to enjoy your day and your program. And please stay safe until we engage again.
I am going to ban you from wherever you see that anti-Dennis crowd so that you will not make those decisions in the future. But you go along. 10 minutes after one, Brass starts. You're on the air. Hey, good afternoon. Are we hearing the background noise again?
Hello?
Good afternoon. Yes, there it is. Go ahead. Yes, please. Go ahead.
Hey, Corey?
Yes, please.
Yes, I am sorry that the other moderator has gone off the air as well, too. I think he's a great gentleman.
Well, Dennis is still here. He can hear you loud and clear. We're not hearing you as clearly, but...
Right, well, I am here in the rainforest that we got going on here in Barbados now. Mm-hmm. We got rain falling plenty heavy where I am. So maybe that's why you're
not here. And where are you calling from?
Christchurch.
Where are you calling from?
Christchurch.
Christchurch, yes.
Mm. Yeah. No, rain bucket in down here. What I called about is we have been given a letter from the Prime Minister that stated that we were not supposed to do certain activities. I am a tourism person, and the letter, in all honesty, and I understand that we are in a terrible crisis now. I don't want to for one second not recognize that, but the wording is just a little bit vague, and I was wondering if our Minister of Tourism would address the tourism stakeholders and try to give us a little more clarity on, you know, a bus crawl, for example. I never seen a bus crawl before, you know what I mean? Or
you gotta check them at 10 o'clock. That was near probably came from.
If I drive fast, my bus ain't crawling, you know what I mean? The interpretation is all a bit grey. I think I would like somebody from the Ministry of Tourism to address and let us know, you know, can we rent chairs on the beach? Can we have a cruise on a catamaran if it's one family? Or just seeking some clarity, because it's such a broad kind of grey description of what you can and cannot do. Some of us might interpret it wrongly, end up with a $50,000 fine, and or, you know, be causing more trouble in the country. So that's all my appeal is.
I'm seeing that in the press they're saying no beach chair rentals. So that answers your question right away. But I would agree that I believe every sector that is intimately involved or fundamentally involved some way linked to COVID should have their press conferences going on. So we can have a main one with the Prime Minister and the main ministerial team of cabinet and the CMO, et cetera. And then we can have some other press conferences coming up from education, what will happen with the schools, with tourism, what's happening with the tourist sector, not just the hotels, the entire tourist sector and tourism sector, I should say. So we definitely want to agree with you on that. And then I hear a proposal to have some kind of communication czar type person to field all these questions and get these answers out to the different populations. Because we can have a press conference that wouldn't cover everyone. We could go on social media, wouldn't cover everyone. But we need to use a variety of media to ensure that the vast majority, if not the entire population, is well informed. So I want to take that from your call and kind of elevate that call for you. I'm being told that some parts of the island, St. Philip, has no electricity. Where I am, the lights have dipped about three times. I'm now hearing thunder. And where there's thunder, there's usually lightning. So we continue to be safe. Stay safe from COVID and stay safe out there, as I believe we're going to soon get reports of flooding, because when the clouds assemble, some places just flood before a drop of rain comes, we get the flooding. So I don't know. Producer, how are we with calls? Okay, we got some calls here. We're going to try. Hopefully they go through. Fingers crossed. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Ah, yes. Go ahead. Good afternoon.
Mr. Lane, how are you?
I am fantastic. All the better for hearing you.
How are the kids?
The kids are good. The goats are good. My children are well. Everybody doing good.
The foals, yes, the are good. Christmas, I knew we are good.
Yes, please.
Yes.
The Christmas, but not the New Year. New Year starts a hearty, hearty.
Oh, yeah. I had a boat squad, too. Yeah, what that was?
You had a bus crawl?
A boat. Oh, yeah, what, a boat?
A boat crawl?
Yes, the first of us tell me about it. That they have on their phone.
Hey, when that was down Paradise Beach?
I don't know where it was, but some person called me and told me that I had a boat crawl. I never hear about boat crawl.
I never hear about it. We hear it for the first time from you.
But she
didn't have a joke too far.
She was on her phone. Man.
A boat crawl, man. I love
it. Everything not going wrong. Everything happening. I don't know what's really going wrong. This year, this year, like, it's going to be just like last year.
Or worse.
It looks so. Because everybody enjoyed themselves. Everybody wasn't thinking about nothing. They wasn't thinking about enjoying themselves. And then they should
The Mike Tadas out is the last mass. So enjoy it. People might tell us out, like, you see what? This is the last mass. I can enjoy it. But they're part one. Things are recognized about partiers, right? They're partiers. They love to party. So I think that being cooped up, people who love to get out there and mix with people, there are some people that detest crowds.
Yeah.
They cannot handle crowds at all. And there are persons then that cannot wait for the opportunity to go into large crowds and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, so, well, you know,
when you think of the lockdown, I guess it will affect them a lot more. I have friends who used to party every day of the week. I didn't know how they used to get it do. But they were going to Gap on Monday, and they were going to Hotel on Tuesday, and they were going to this place on Wednesday, every single day. And then come asking me for my share.
But the men had a crop over.
I guess this is the only place you have a crop over.
But then you know that it was crop over. I saw a video, and they looked like they were not letting me crop over. Mm. And everybody up in Wanda, the supporters, the sheriffs, and all the players got this thing, you know. I know here, and put the dot in port and all, you know.